Yes, it's a matter of fact. Look,
one day I was talking with one lady. This was long ago. This when it was not for me. This was foolishness because I wasn't foolish. She was the one that was foolish. We're going. Our friends were wedding. Of course, I didn't have much money, so for the wedding, I went to sew one small brocade. I said, I'll wear for this wedding, and I'll wear for the other. He said, no, now. You can't wear the same cloth for the two weddings. I said, why not? It's going to look nice. I will wash it, starch it, iron it, before I go for the second one. He said, it's the same people that will come for this one, that will come for the other one. I said, so? And she said, yeah, no, it's not good. Like, I can't remember the words, but like, something like, no, it will like, you go shy you in there. No, I can't shy, you know, you go shy in front of the people. It's one. Okay, yes, I got the word in English now. You go fade, you know. Yeah, you know what I'm saying? So you know, I say that you don't fade in front of them. I said, listen to me. Okay, listen. I said, the people you are talking about, they do not respect me for what I wear. They respect me for what I say. Mm-hmm. Let's get there. If I want to impress them, everybody gather. Isaiah chapter 15. It's not a problem. really. I said, look, this one is that you can't. No, now I can decide to wear anything, anywhere. Decide that, okay, I want this suit today. I'm not wearing it for the next 10 months. It's season. Amen. What did I call it?
Season.
You know, I told you that. Look, all flesh is grass, you know. Vanity upon vanity. What is vanity? That thing that is sweet when it blows upon you, but you are mad when you follow after it. That's what vanity is. Anything that blows upon you and is sweet. You know, it's like chasing after what? The wind. When wind blows on you, you know, you are feeling happy. So, if the season has come, you enjoy it. But it wasn't the season. It was difficult. If you wear the same cloth, you will just fade in their eyes. I said, I don't, that's not a problem. That's not a problem. When we get there, I download the revelation. No, they say we are talking about one day. They say, Pastor Frank is around. I said, come on, share something. I share something. In fact, I told the story before. It was a wedding. One of our brothers was getting married. When I got there, no, that they say, what they call it, bachelor's, something like that. Anyway. Fellowship before the day, Shah, with the day church, they won't do fellowship, say, brought the marriage tomorrow. And I said, who will preach? Banky, you are going to preach. I said, you didn't give me any notice now. Anyway, let's make a long story short. I preached, and I still remember, I said, and the remnant of the house of Judah shall first take root downwards and bear fruit upwards. They preached that sermon, all of them, for the next 6 months. I'm not exaggerating. The next 6 months, anytime you tell somebody to share what they say, and the remnants of the house of. It didn't matter to them whether I gave me knicker and flip flop, you know, bathroom slippers. It made no difference. So this one, running up and down looking for something to use to give yourself, you know, is because you lack confidence in yourself. You lack it. You want to go and visit a woman you want to marry, you are borrowing a car. You are very stupid. I hope you heard me. If it's like, okay, she knows it's not your car. Okay, let's just use it to be comfortable. Are you getting my point? You want to go somewhere. I have no problem. But you want to arrive, park, so that her brothers will know that you have a car. Let me say it to you. You are very stupid. I say it one more time if you have not heard it. Look, you know, God, you know, I told that there are things that God delivered me from long ago. Me, impress you. Try to impress you. For what? Tries to impress you. For what? You know, I always had this idea. They are more handsome than you are beautiful. I don't know whether you got that. Is it true? Well, that's what I think. What does it matter? It's my opinion. I'm the one that wants to marry. Is that not so? I mean, for that reason, I have no business trying to impress you. I used to say, this is all I am. What you are seeing. My job is to show it to you. You know? I remove my coat, show you inside out, see this is how it is, do everything like that. The question, do you like it? There's nothing like, please, Angelina, if you don't marry me, I will die. Yeah. God forbid. Because of what? Ah! Man of God, die! Because, lie. My attitude was always, I'm a child of God. I'm on assignment. God sent me to this world to be a blessing to people. And he says, it's not good for Banky to be alone. So we're trying to identify you. Are you the one to come or we are to expect another? No, that is. Listen, you must have that attitude. You understand my point? Are you the one to come or we should expect another? If you say it's because you heard that I work in this place and my salary is not very big and you don't like it, obviously you are not the one to come. And the Bible says when you are persecuted in one city, flee to the next. I'm moving. And like God also said, the ministry has to move. We can't be waiting for the ministry is moving. The Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. See, for us Christians, that's what I want to emphasize. The things that the people of the world have running after. It's not our problem. See, we have titles. Engineer, chief, doctor, professor. Doctor. Why? Because people are empty. Yes. People are empty, yes. So they are looking for what to give them, you know, the push, the boost, the sense of worth. But Paul said this is it for us as Christians. Our sense of worth comes from only one thing. It's from Christ, what he did in us. That's all. If you want to feel important, that's why you can't feel more important than another believer. That is why you cannot feel more important than another believer. Because the only thing that makes you important is that Jesus died for you. Otherwise, you're useless. You understand my point? You are nothing. You are empty. You are kum. You know what I'm saying? A bit like this. Empty. Totally nothing inside. Empty, anything, everything. That your body is not worth anything. The only thing that gives you value is that Jesus died for you. And you must believe that and treat other people like that. When you see them also, this one is talking to me. You know, I've seen people talk before. Which state is it from? When the people from that state start talking to people from my state like that? You know, in Europe then, they had royalty. All of them now figurehead. You know why? God decided to remove the kingdom from them because they were feeling more important than everybody else, blue blood. God said, okay, I will show everybody, all of you now, red blood. Europeans began to behead them one by one. I thought about it, why God decided to allow those revolutions to let you people, you don't understand. Royalty is not and better than other people. It's a place that I place you so you can serve. So when you don't understand it, I remove you from there. So as Christians, we never fall for those kind of temptations to be proud that you are better than somebody else. We, our boast, listen, and that's the emphasis. As believers, the only thing we boast about is what Christ has accomplished in us. And that he accomplished in everybody. Very important for Christians to understand it. What is driving us, I will say, is different from what is driving the world. We are not trying to be more important than somebody else. Everything in life, we as Christians, because we are servants of Christ, we have the same spirit of Christ. So everything we use to serve the purpose of God in our lives. That's all. That is, God sent us. I said we should open somewhere, right? Psalm 40. Let's just read it. This is the spirit that's moving a Christian. Please don't go to school to go and get a title, PhD. Does not always make doctor of philosophy. You know that. Sometimes they say it also means push him down. Listen, in life as Christians, I'm emphasizing it. You must understand what things are meant for. As I'm going to emphasize. If you're a researcher, please go ahead and research into PhD level. Do you understand? Yes. You know, you, please just understand it. Don't think those things give you any value. Yes. They are just like your pair of shoes. Are you getting my point? You wear them so that you don't hurt your feet. They are useful. There's like they are like the blanket you use at night, so that you do, you know, your blanket doesn't give you value. Do you get my point? No, you just need to keep warm. In the same manner, if God says, okay, you are going to be a healer for people that don't have faith. Are you getting my point? Yes, now, because if you are a healer for those who have faith, just lay hands on them, they are fine. But if I'm going to be a healer for those who don't have faith, then you have to be a doctor. You get my point? Then you go and learn it. Go and read Ben Carson's book, Gifted Hands. You see that God used him to, and I'm just referring to his book because that's one that's written for all of us to read. But there are many people like that. As a Christian, everything you see in life, you must see it as a mission, not as a means of getting richer than other people. Everything in life as a Christian must be seen as a mission. It's not the means of being richer than other people. Every advantage you seem to have in life, you must see it as a tool that God gave you to fulfill the mission he has on your life. Not the means of being richer than other people. That is a matter of fact. I'll get to it again. The more you earn in this life, the more you must give. It's not about when you give now, God will now give back to you. Whether he gives back to you or not is besides the point. It's not your money. Like I said last time, look, see, you must, in fact, that's actually what I came here to teach today. All right? I pray I get to you in a moment. But then let's just read this portion of the Bible, Psalm 40. It says from verse 5, many, O Lord, my God, are the wonders which you have done, and your thoughts toward us. There is none to compare with you. If I will declare and speak of them, they will be too numerous to count. Now, this is what is called a messianic psalm. That is, was prophetic of the life of Jesus Christ. It's a sacrifice and meal offering. I'm in verse 6 now. You have not desired. My ears you have opened. Now, please notice my ears you have opened, because the Greek rendered it slightly different. It's a burnt offering and sin offering you have not required. Then I said, behold, I come in the scroll of the book. He said, behold, I come. In the scroll of the book it is written of me. I delight to do your will, O my God. Your law is within my heart. He said, I have proclaimed glad tidings of righteousness in the great congregation. Behold, I will not restrain my lips. O Lord, you know. Now, I like the way that is rendered in the book of Hebrews. If you read that from the book of Hebrews, there's something he said there which I really like. Hebrews chapter 10. You should only feel bad in life as a believer if you cannot understand how you are blessing other people. That is when you start feeling bad. If it's that you don't have the degree that other people have, it's irrelevant. You don't have the passport. You know, there are human beings that actually feel very quiet with themselves. Why? I'm an American citizen. As if American citizens don't die. You know, it's very funny. And you know, oh God, you know, and you know, there are women, they will just marry you because you're an American citizen. Oh, foolish Galatians. People may be talking nice in church. Nice, forget, they can talk nice. When you want to know what they really value, look at how they are relating with other people that have those things. Are you getting my point? They can come and say, Abraham's blessings are my praise, God, in Christ Jesus, I'm full with the fullness of it, and talk. Then two bros show. One, Nigerian citizen, one American citizen. Let us see how she relates with both of them. That is what lets you know what she's really thinking. Because as a man thinks in his heart, that is what he really is. And like I said, the Bible says, man, don't forget woman too. It's the same, all of us, man. You know, so when I say Christian, sometimes I feel love. Any man I can't marry in Nigeria, I won't marry in America. Just get it. No, that's the Christian mindset. If you were living with me in Nigeria, I won't marry you if you like. Come from, where can you come from now? Wherever you come from, I'm not going to marry you. Because your American citizenship or residency has not increased the quality of your person. And I like one thing, this man was quoted, you know, what is his name? Rick Warren. He said, that's how we are called human beings, not human doings. That it is what we are. What we are is not what we do. So it is what you are that matters to me. It's not where you come from. Listen, you know, there are things I say this is, I didn't know people used to think like that. So you know what I mean is that I didn't used to bother to say them because I felt every Christian understood. I have never in my life seen somebody, even when I was a student, say you're an American citizen or British citizen, and I felt you are lucky. Dai, now wow, why didn't my father travel that time? See, my mom will bomb me for America now. God in heaven is my witness. I have never mistakenly, by chance, when I was sleeping in a drunken stupor, you get my point? During which dream I sniffed a bit of cocaine, which I took from a man selling heroin. I have never, for one half a second, felt there was any special advantage to it. Never. Never. God is not lying. So confident was I. When I suppose say you go to the embassy, just in Lagos, you queue from 2 a.m. for an interview at 9 o'clock. I said, me. Me. Now, when I say me like this, I wasn't doing me. You know, you don't know who my father is on the earth. No. My own me is, do you realize I have read Isaiah 66 verse 12? I don't know whether I get my point. That was my own me. Like, what are you talking about? You have never heard Archbishop Idahosa that said a lizard in Nigeria will not become an alligator anywhere in the world? I said, me? If I will not kill from 2 a.m., so preach the gospel and kill from 2 a.m. for an interview, which is not guaranteed anyway. No, listen, ask my wife. When we first met one day, when we just interacting, talking, he said, this man, that the problem is that you're just too full of yourself. I said, yeah. So I said, okay, no problem. I went back home. I went and thought about it, prayed about it, checked about it. Then I came next day and told her, no, I'm not full of myself. I'm full of God. I told her like that. I said, I'm full of God. And according to, what's the name of this, our brother? John G. Lake. He said, you can't have power with God and not brag on it. In fact, John G. Lake used to teach, and I believe it, that if you want the power of God in your life to win, stop bragging on it. And when I studied Kenneth Hagin, he explained that was why Jesus, go and check it, Jesus Christ, in quote, now listen to this, so he always bragged, in quote now, on who he was. Because if he didn't, the people wouldn't respond to him like that, and he would not be able to bless them. He wasn't full of himself, he was trying to help people. That's why any of you who have followed me, if I've gone to preach, you've seen, I say, well, here, I don't bother, but elsewhere when I go, one of the first people that I say, praise the Lord. You are blessed, you have come today. I never meet people and I don't bless them. Some people say, this man is not humble. Humility is your problem. Me? Listen, I magnify my office. Yeah, I magnify my office. You won't teach me any nonsense humility. Say, praise God, I'm just an unworthy servant. I may have been unworthy, but now this servant has been anointed. So when this servant gets up, you will be blessed. When I start, that's the person I tell people. When I get to know, I say, you have come here today. Your ignorance will die. When I finish talking to you, and listen, I'm not joking about it. One day, God, I'm giving you the glory. I went to preach. I was telling my wife about the other day, in Old Pass here. They had a men's program, Old Pass River Assembly. When I finished teaching, one man came to me. He said, sir, He said, now I understood how the apostles must have felt listening to Jesus directly. He said, I have never had this feeling in my life. He said, you indeed talk like one having authority. He said, now I know how those apostles felt sitting down and listening to Jesus Christ directly. You're not going to let me take that one away because of stupid humility. Listen, I make my boast in the Lord. When the humble hear it, they rejoice. They don't say I'm proud. Is he proud that I hear it and tell me I'm proud?
Yeah.
When the humble hear it, they rejoice. Paul said, we are not sufficient in ourselves. Our sufficiency is of God, who has made us sufficient as ministers of this new covenant. That day when I was speaking with my wife, I said, listen, I'm not full of myself. I'm full of God. Everything I've told you is what God said. It's not what I think. It's what the word of God says about me. I've read that scripture. He said, behold, I cause prosperity to flow towards you like a river, and the wealth of the nations like an overflowing stream. So I told my wife, don't worry. Your husband will be very, very rich. Just marry him. Don't worry about it. As a matter of fact, don't worry about it. Listen, our boast is in Christ. That's what I'm going to emphasize. We're not boasting. They say, don't worry. Just when I finish my program, I'm going abroad. And after that, I'll do this. Then we'll be able to start up a very big practice. And we'll make a lot of money. That is fleshly boasting. That is what? Fleshly boasting. That is fleshly boasting. My boast, if anything I'm going to achieve in life, if I brag on anything, say, how do you know? I'll quote a scripture for you. That's boasting in the Lord. Mm-hmm. Now, back to, let's now see, I said we should open somewhere else. Hebrews chapter 10. Let's read that other portion in the book of Hebrews. From verse 5, it says, we're just quoting from that. It says, sacrifice and offerings you have not desired, but a body you have prepared for me. That's what I said you should note earlier. That you see the way it's rendered in the Greek. And that's what it is here. He said, but a body you have prepared for me. He said, a whole burnt offering and sacrifices for sin you have taken no pleasure. Then I said, behold, I have come. And the scroll of the book is written of me to do your will, O God. Now listen to this. Now, why am I emphasizing this for us as Christians again? I'm talking about how we live our lives. The attitude we have. He said, a body you have prepared for me. That is, when God finds a problem on the earth, and he wants to send somebody to go and fix it, he prepares a body for the person and says, you enter this body and use this body to fix things. Now, that goes, now listen to this, this goes beyond just the flesh. It, again, involves many other things in your life. A body you have prepared for me, I come to do thy will. That is, any material thing I have was given to me to do the will of God. Are you getting what I'm saying? Nothing was given to me to acquire. Nothing was given to me to possess. Are you getting what I'm saying? So as to hold and say it's my own. Everything was given to me to do the will of God. Therefore, sacrifice and offering you have not desired, a good flow of cash, for those who, that's their ministry. You have provided for me. I have come to do thy will. I have not come to enjoy life. That flow of cash has been given to me to do thy will. Do you understand what I'm going to explain there? A good skill has been given to me. Why? So that I can be able, I will now be able to make good money and be comfortable. No. So that using it, I can do thy will. Listen, that is the motivation of a Christian. Every other motivation is worldly. What we as believers are doing is just to do the will of God. I need to emphasize this again. Listen, let's even take this business as an example. You know, the Bible says be transformed by the renewing of your mind. I want to emphasize something to you, all right, in that from that angle. When he's talking about be transformed by the renewing of your mind, the point he's just making is this. We are talking business now, that's why I quoted that. Why do people do businesses? The typical worldly mentality is so we can make money. I don't know how many of you have watched Shark Tank. Anyway, like Dragon's Den, the American version, they call it Shark Tank. One of the things I don't like about that Kevin O'Leary guy is that he says it, he's proud of it. He says, as far as he's concerned, it comes down to money. He said, that's why I'm called Mr. Wonderful. People will come there and say, okay, maybe they're sharing something. Okay, we brought the green one for you. That's your favorite color. He said, yes, the color of money. Everything for him is money. And when they are listening to the presentations and everything, the main thing for almost everybody, especially Kevin, is how much money is there to be made. And listen to me, that is the exact opposite of a Christian's mindset. Money has its function. We're not talking money now. So money has its role, but it is not the center of the activity. In fact, I recommend this man all the time. Please go and read his material, Henry Ford. After I read Henry Ford, I've not seen a better description of the purpose of business like that man explained in My Life and Work by Henry Ford. And what is he trying to explain? In fact, he said that's why he didn't use to borrow money from banks. He disliked banks. You know his reason? He said for them, money is the end. But for him, money is a tool. That the cash is just as important as the machinery he has in the place. The end is to be able to build cars and help people. So for him, if I'm not making enough money, you quickly liquidate my business and carry your money away. He said, no, the money is supposed to be what? A tool to help the business run. And that's why Henry Ford lived his whole life. After he started business, he never borrowed money from banks one day. He refused. He said, they don't understand the purpose of money. Without going into details about that, let me say it again. These days, most human beings don't understand the purpose of business, of money, of anything. They think it's just about, let us make money. That's why we do business. But for Christians, no. Everything we do is part of that thing we said, I come to do thy will. That is why, listen, I'll say categorically, a Christian can't sell cigarettes. You can't. Yeah, if you are listening to this, you work in a tobacco company, I think you should resign, get another job. If you have a conscience, you should. Because there is no denying the fact that that product does no good for anybody. As far as I'm concerned, it's just a legal way of selling cocaine. Yeah. It's just that cocaine is outlawed, tobacco smoking is inlawed, you know. It's legal. Because it is legal, it's, you know, and that's why, look, I've had a bit of experience with people, you know, work there. They pay heavily. Nigerian Tobacco Company, when they pay you money, you know, they have to deaden your conscience. They know you may be going to church. So when your pastor is talking, they have to talk. Pastor said, praise God, they give you a millionaire. You won't know whether to praise God or to go to work. My learning in life and experience, all right, just observing it, we know as a matter of fact, tobacco smoking is a problem. It is not, doesn't do any good for anybody. So for us Christians, we ask ourselves, whatever it is that I'm doing, how am I doing the will of God through it? That's it. That is how we reason. How am I doing the will of God in that which I am doing? Even in going to school, people say, go to school so that, you know, you can get a good job. And that's not a Christian's way of thinking. A Christian thinks differently. When it comes to school, we approach it, listen, like I tell people, listen, look, education is part of life. You have to be learned. It is ungodly to be stupid. Yes. God doesn't want people to be ignorant. He wants them to be, you should be able to communicate, you should be able to relate. It's part of the glory of God. The Bible says you have been called to show forth his excellencies. And that is why, as a Christian, you will never be satisfied with somebody helping you to cheat and pass an exam. Because for you, it is not about the exam. It's about what? The learning. You understand it. You don't help me. Don't worry, this is a question that's coming tomorrow. I don't want to know. Seek first the kingdom of knowledge, and every other person shall be added unto you. That's what the scripture said. That's how I teach my students. If you understand, so for us as believers, even though it is school we are going, we are not going to school with the way everybody else is going. We go to school simply because we want to learn. So if you get to a class day one, day two, like one brother was telling me one day, sir, I've done this course for 3 years, I'm not learning anything. Came to meet me, said he's withdrawing, that he's tired. Not like it's too hard though. I'm passing the exam, I'm moving on, but I'm not learning. I am as empty. My brain, with every exam I have passed, I'm still at the same level before I enter this place. So let me go and find something else to do with my time. That's how we Christians behave. We don't just move out in life. I just want to go and do a PhD so I can earn the title. So when they're introducing me, I cannot do politics properly. No, Christians, we don't do that. We understand that even when it comes to learning, what we are doing with it is to do the will of God. All right, the Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. All right, let me end the message here. But let's just summarize everything. This is what we have come to an end of that to the end of that series, which is the cross of Christ. Two things we have said. Please don't forget it. One, that cross represents everything that God planned as salvation for mankind in Christ Jesus. So. I think for me, one of the most important things I brought out is the fact that faith is not just I agree. Remember? Faith is not just what? I agree. What is faith? Faith is that I am totally absorbed by the thing. You know, God is good. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
You know, I made a statement in the early parts of the message when I was talking about that faith and focusing. Then I gathered some Canadian materials last week and began to listen to them. Honestly, do you know the same thing I said? This old man said it 40, 50 years ago, and I'd never even heard him say it. What am I saying? He said he used to tell his church members that give me the same opportunity you give to the doctor, and I guarantee you will be well every time. It won't cost you a dime. You know, I was explaining that what faith is. How can I say? Look, I'm listening to the message. I still listen to it as I was parking here. As I was driving from my house just to come here, it takes like 6 minutes to drive from my home to here. I still heard him say it. I said, this is the same thing we're talking about. He said he used to tell his church members, just the same example I gave, that when the doctor says, come back next week, what do? You go back. He said, when he says, come back in 3 days, you come back. He said, and he charges you every time. He said, but I'm not going to charge you a dime. Just do what I am telling you, and I guarantee you will get well every time. The only difference, it won't cost you a penny. He emphasized that Jesus did more teaching than praying for the sick. And that out of the 19 times that it was specifically recorded how Jesus healed people, 12 out of 19, the people were healed based on their faith, not the anointing of Jesus. Said there are only 19 specific healings recorded. Of course, there were multitudes that were healed. Said, but the ones in which you will see a discussion. A man was brought down from the roof. A woman had the issue of blood. You understand my point? A child was brought to the father. A father brought the child to Jesus. You know, stuff like that. He said, when you count them, they were 19. He said, on 12 of them, in 12 cases, the people were healed purely on their faith. Jesus would tell, great is your faith. Your faith has made you whole. Be it unto you as you have believed. He said, this was what happened 12 out of 19. He said, what does that tell you? That the teaching of Jesus was more important than his working of miracles. He said, and that was why he was bold to say it. That listen to me. If you listen to me, I guarantee you, you will be well every time. And he said, he passed it for 12 years. and did not allow one church member to die. The man just emphasized something. That if you pay attention to the word of God, that's one thing we brought up from this series I'm very happy about. That faith is not just, I agree. Faith is to be absorbed by the thing. Faith is to be absorbed. Not just like, okay, in fact, so the problem with people is that they come to a church, they come to God, God, quick, you say you're a miracle worker, do quick, 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 and they go. But they are very patient with the doctor. They are very, very patient. Doctor will say, okay, go and run this test, they will go. They will be out in 1 month. 1 month, they collect the test, they are back. Okay, see me tomorrow, they are back. Bring three of your relatives, they bring them. Each time, money is dropping. He said, but when is the preacher's turn? When he said, we'll teach twice a day for 5 days before we pray for the sick. Ah, they won't give me permission at work. They won't give me permission. So Ken Hagin said, I'm quoting, no, I was so blessed when I heard it. I said the same thing we said there. He said, give me the same opportunity you give to the doctor. And I guarantee you, you'll be well every time. And it won't cost you a penny. Listen, when I heard that word, in fact, you know, my wife remember, my daughter now came in one of those days. Daddy, my stomach is paining me. The kind vex where I take pretty prayer. Hey! In the name of Jesus, pain, nah, listen to me. That is Navexo. I said, yeah, go, go, you are well. I didn't want to hear anything contrary. Just go, go. You are well. But please, my emphasis again is what? Attention. Please, listen to me. In this life, you have succeeded. Somebody say amen. It is not, listen, let me just say this. You will not die young, if you like. Eh? You know, they said they brought a bomb in the boot of a car, carrying charcoal, and it blew. When you are tired, sit on the boot of that car, carrying charcoal. The bomb has two options. Either it blows the car and leaves you alone, or it doesn't blow at all. But that you will die, it will not happen.
Amen.
Listen, you will not die early in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
You will be satisfied with years in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
God will make all grace abound towards you.
Amen.
You will have all sufficiency in everything,
Amen.
And you will abound to every good work.
Amen.
You will be fruitful in everything that you do.
Amen.
You will be fruitful in your body.
Amen.
You will be fruitful in your career.
Amen.
Health, perfect health is your portion in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Every devil that's trying to afflict you, I rebuke it now by the power of the word of God in the name of Jesus
Amen.
Christ. That cross has delivered you totally.
Amen.
Please, if you believe, give me another amen.
Amen.
Let's just bow our hands and just say, Father, we thank you. Let's say, Lord, we thank you.